morning. I read a story this week and it reminded me of a joke. I guess I really heard a joke when I read this story. It brought it back. I'm going to tell you both because it's too good not to tell it. There's a guy who was down on his luck and needing a job and had seen that the local zoo was hiring. And so he inquired about the job and found out that it was sort of a weird position that they wanted to fill. This zoo was also on hard times, and their famed gorilla had died. And so what they were needing was for somebody to dress up in a gorilla costume and act like a gorilla just for a couple of days. He just needed to sit there and eat and sleep, do things as a gorilla would do. And his identity would be kept a secret. No one was going to be known any the wiser. It was a great-looking gorilla suit. And so he does this. He puts it on and he goes and he lays down and he sleeps for a couple of hours. And, you know, he slept for a couple of hours. And so he got up and he stretched. And he noticed when he stretched, people started clapping. So he stretched a little bit further and people clapped even more. So he jumped up and he ran to one end of the enclosure to the other end. And people, just more and more people showed up. He was starting to think this is really good. And he climbed up on a tree and he grabbed on a vine and he swung and people are cheering, and he got too wild, and the vine broke, and he landed into the lion enclosure. And just a few feet away from him was this hungry lion who was staring at him, and he breaks character. He says, "I'm not a gorilla. I'm a man. I'm just dressed up. Somebody save me." When the lion jumps on him and pins him down, and he says, "Listen, buddy, you're going to get us all fired if you don't shut up." Well, we're going to continue our series of Where Are You? And I want to start with this story that I read back in 2013. There's a zoo in China in which a mother and daughter went there, and they were very excited to go to that lion enclosure. And they made their way there to a cage that was clearly labeled that it was a lion. And they were shocked when that lion opened its mouth and there was not a roar, but a bark. And what they discovered there was what was being sold as a lion, what was actually a large Tibetan mastiff that the zoo was trying to pass off as a lion. And upon further inspection, it was realized that there were multiple enclosures where they had animals that were different than what was labeled. Sometimes life is that way. Sometimes things aren't always what they seem. Sometimes a lion is just a dog. Maybe sometimes a gorilla is just a guy in a costume. And that's what this month, this series, has been all about: evaluation and self-examination, about asking really deep questions, and not about other people, but about ourselves and about our walk with Christ, evaluating who am I really? Who am I really as a Christian? Am I the person that I say I am? Am I the person that I want to be? Am I living the life that I want to live? Or striving to live. But right now, currently, before we take another step in life, before we go in another direction, or before maybe we say, "I'm going to keep doing things the way I've always done," or again, before I make the changes I feel I need to make, where am I currently? When you go into a mall, if there are sorts of things anymore, when you would go into, they would always have that big map when you would walk in. And it's important to know which store that you were going to, but it's also maybe even more important to know where you are located, to find that star, to say, this is where you are. And so that's what we're trying to do. But as we work through that, evaluating ourselves, one of the things that we have to evaluate is, who are we listening to? Who are the voices that we are listening to? What are the things that are influencing us? Who are the people? Who are the voices? What are the ideas that are influencing us in our life? And I like this quote, and I don't really can't even tell you who said it or much about them, but it's this, that in 5 years from today, you will be the people, or you will be the same person that you are now, except for the people that you meet or the books that you read. So in 5 years from today, you will be the same person you are now, except for the people that you meet and the books that you read. And I like that idea. The people in your life, whether physically or virtually, that are in your life, those people and the books that you are reading, the things that you are listening to that are influencing you, they are the things that are shaping you. Not only are they shaping you into what you will become, But they have shaped you into the person you are. The person you are today is due in part to people that you met and books that you read 5 years ago. Maybe people you met in your life. Maybe you started watching something on TV. Maybe you started listening to a podcast. You started listening to a radio show or certain books, and those things influence you. You are who you are, at least in part, based on the people that you have met and the books that you have read, the things to which you are listening. So if we are going to evaluate who you really are, where you are in life, then you have to ask this question: who am I listening to? Who is shaping me? And just as important, should I be listening to them? Am I listening to the right voices? Am I listening to the right messages? Am I being influenced by the right sorts of people? As parents, it's really easy to want to guard your children and say, no, you can't watch that, or don't listen to that sort of thing. I don't want that influencing you negatively. That's good for us to instruct and protect our children. But who is protecting us? Who is guarding our hearts and minds? How often do we really stop and ask ourselves, are these the voices to which I should listen? Are these the ideas that I want shaping me as a person? So let's listen to what Jesus says as we continue to wrap up the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And I think first of all, we need to define a prophet. What's a prophet? Well, a real prophet is someone who speaks on God's behalf. Someone that is speaking a message that they receive from God. But I think more often than not, when we think of prophets, we tend to think of someone who answers the question of what will happen. When we think of prophets, we think of someone who speaks about the future. And for the most part, though, prophets didn't answer just the question, what will happen. The questions that prophets tended to answer mostly was, why is this happening? Throughout biblical history, the prophets were the people who answered the question why something was going on. Why is this happening to me, to my family, to my tribe, to my nation, to my world? The prophet didn't just deal with future events. A prophet dealt with current events. Why is this happening? And a true prophet is someone who has a message from God that says, this is why this is happening. This is why you are going into captivity. This is why you are going to lose this battle. So again, a prophet is someone who, as Peter puts it, is carried along by the Holy Spirit to interpret current events, to tell you why this or that is happening. And of course, sometimes what will happen is told in the future, but almost always a prophet is saying, change what you are doing. Or maybe keep what you are doing as a guide into how to live, but by a false prophet, they always have ulterior motives. The false prophet isn't bringing a message from God, even if he says the message is from God. He isn't being honest. Jesus says he's really a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now we live in a very secular society. The people in Jesus' day, they lived in a very religious society. So whether it was the pagans, the Greeks or the Romans or the Babylonians or the Assyrians, their false prophets, they would say their God gave them this message to interpret their current situation, to say, this is why this is happening and this is what you should do. And they would often claim that they got their message from God. Or our false prophets, though, they tend to be very often, certainly we have no shortage of religious false prophets in America. But we also have secular false prophets. The world is full of people that say that they know that they have this great understanding and they have a message to share with you and to guide you into how to live your life. And in that future, you're going to have good fortune and success. And even if they don't claim that their message is coming from God, that doesn't change the fact that they can be false prophets. claiming to be able to see with great insight into seeing things happening a certain way, claiming to have insight on how everybody should live their lives. If we just lived our lives this way, then things wouldn't happen like this, and good things would happen, so everybody should just listen to me and just do what I'm telling you. And Jesus says, no, listen, beware. Notice that first word, beware. Be alert. Be on your toes. Understand that not everybody that says they have insight, not everybody that says they have a message from God on why things are happening, why they are, or why things should happen if you would do things a certain way in living your life, not everyone is bringing you a divinely inspired message. Not everybody is telling you the truth, and some people are wolves in sheep clothing. Sometimes what appears to be a sheep is really a wolf. And sometimes what appears to be a lion is just a dog. Not everything is what it seems. And so we have to stop and evaluate. We've all listened to prophets. We've all listened to people who have claimed to have insight about current events or insights on future events or insights on how to live your life a certain way to secure good fortunes. We've all listened to people who claim to have this great, if not divinely inspired message. And we have to ask ourselves, are they false prophets? Are they people with ulterior motives who really have other motives to devour, to use for their own gain, to exploit people that listen and to follow and that believe their message? Because the world has always been full of people that want to have a gathering of followers, who want people to come and listen and to follow them, and so they will tell them whatever they want to hear. This is why this is happening. Of course it's all their fault. You know, it's all those people that are different from us. It's all those people because of them, and if we could just get rid of them or just shut them up or just stop listening to them, things would get better. And all throughout history, there have been people to claim that they have this great insight, and they gather a great following who say, if you just listen to me, I will show you the light. And if you think you are not capable of following a false teacher or a false prophet, whether that be religious or secular, maybe when we think we would never fall for something like that, listen, Jesus is telling his disciples, beware. Beware when we think about ourselves that could never happen. I believe is when we are most vulnerable to following false prophets and false teachers. When we think that could never happen to me, I would never believe something like that. We have to stop and ask ourselves, who are the people influencing me? Who have influenced me? Who are the people to whom I am listening? Are they false prophets? Are they wolves in sheep's clothing? But that's the thing. How do you know? How do you know that someone isn't who they seem to be? How do you know when a lion is really just a dog? How do you know when something appears to be a sheep, but it's actually a wolf? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus says in verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Think about that metaphor for a second. He says if you have a thorn bush and you're waiting for it to grow grapes, you're going to sit there for a very long time. I don't know why it won't grow any grapes. Well, maybe because it's not a grapevine. I don't know why this thing won't grow any figs, because it's a thistle bush. It's not a fig tree. You only get grapes from grapevines. You only get figs from a fig tree. Then he says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, just to kind of get a little bit personal, I used to listen to and read a lot from a certain speaker. I could say that he was my prophet. interpreting current events, telling me why this is happening, stroking my ego and telling me why certain people were acting a certain way, and it was just sort of the way that I already thought. Here's what people are really up to. Here's what I predict. Here's how you need to change what you're doing if you don't want this to happen. Here's what you need to change. Just do this. And then I stopped, and I recognized something that I didn't like in myself. It was producing bad fruit in me. In my life, I was seeing anxiety and anger to some people that I had never met. I was anxious and angry, and I would listen and I would read to these prophets, and that bad fruit was produced in me. Listen to what Jesus says. You will know these false prophets by their fruit. Sometimes that fruit is produced in their individual lives, and sometimes we see it. Well, we see it with religious and secular false prophets. Sometimes we see the mask tear off from time to time, and we say, okay, well, they aren't really who they pretended to be. Their lives are full of hypocrisy and deceit, full of scandal and immorality, and they're not who they said they were. And sometimes we can see that diseased fruit in the individual lives of the false prophets. But sometimes, more often than not, we see this bad fruit in the lives of the people that they influence. Jesus says you can tell who the false prophets are by their fruit. What does their teaching and influence produce? What does it look like? Is it healthy and good? Or is it bad and diseased? Because you will never get a grape or a fig from a thorn bush or a thistle. Think about the people of Jesus' day. There were no shortage of false prophets. They had no shortage of people wanting to say, this is why this is happening, and this is why the Messiah hasn't arrived yet, and here's what we all need to do, and here's how you need to live your life, and if you want the truth, you need to listen to me. And there were countless of people like that. And what was the result? What were the fruits produced? Envy, jealousy, anger, fear, rage, right? They murdered the Son of God. How in the world could the Jewish people, the Israelite people, the people who had the Torah of God, the people who had the promises of God, how in the world could they become so corrupt and blind that along with the Gentile people, our people, the Romans and the Greeks and the people of Jesus' day would put him to death? How could they become so corrupt? False prophets who produced in the people fear and worry and anxiety and anger and blame and jealousy and all of this corruption. Again, sometimes we see the bad fruit in the individual life of the false prophets, but more often than not, we see it in the lives of those who follow them. We have to stop and ask ourselves, what kind of fruit is this teacher producing? What kind of fruit is this teacher and influencing having on me and others listening? And then verse 20 says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And this is where spiritual discipline is so important. We could just not listen here to Jesus and say, yeah, that's somebody else. The people of Jesus' day, they needed to be aware of false prophets. Or maybe gullible people, they need to be aware of false prophets. Or those people over there, they need to be aware of false prophets. But Jesus says, no. If he were here today, he'd say, all y'all need to be aware of false prophets. But again, how will I know them? Jesus says you'll recognize them by their fruit, which requires us to stop and do some examination, to do some evaluation, to ask ourselves, what sort of fruit is this teacher or teaching producing? This person says that they have all the answers. This person says if we would just listen to them, we could have it all sorted out. And I'm tempted to listen to them. And Jesus says, you'll know whether this is good or bad message by the fruits that are produced by this teacher and these teachings. And if we don't take the time to evaluate the fruits of these people to whom we are listening, we stand a chance of falling into that trap. So here's my encouragement this morning. Take time to ask yourself, who are my prophets and what are their fruits? Who are the people that you are allowing to interpret things for you? And I don't even mean who tells you what is happening. It doesn't take a prophet to examine what is happening. But why is this happening? Why are these things happening? Who are you tempted to listen to, and what are their fruits? What have been the results of the teachings in their life? What have been the results of the teachings in your life? If this person claims to be a moral leader, yet their own life is a mess, what sort of results is that teaching having in their life? But sometimes it's hard to see that. But what you can see is what kind of results the teaching has in your life. Listen, as we finish up, if a message is a gospel message, if the message is true, if a message is from God, if it is from the Spirit, then we know exactly what kind of fruit the Spirit produces in someone's life. We know exactly. The fruit of the Spirit has these characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what Paul says. In fact, Paul is dealing with the same things in Galatians chapter 5. He's talking to the churches in Galatia. These Gentile churches are being led astray by false prophets, by false teachers who have ulterior motives. And he says, listen, here are the works of the flesh. Here are the bad fruits that are produced when you listen to that. That there's all kinds of envy and jealousy and boasting and pride and anger and sexual immorality and all of these things that are the result of listening to teachers who encourage you to indulge in the flesh. But those who are leading you by the Spirit, the results are obvious. And we just said them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. James says the same thing in James chapter 3. He uses different words, but it's the same idea. He says that wisdom from below, it has these results. And wisdom from above, it has these other results. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's full of good fruit. It's full of love. We are all listening to voices, whether it's on TV or the newspaper or the computer, and they are influencing our lives. This is why the primary story that has to guide our life has to be the gospel message. That's why the gospel has to be the lens through which we interpret current events. Why is this happening? Well, if you listen to the gospel, you know exactly why everything to a degree is happening, don't we? Why is this happening? Well, if it's bad, it's because we live in a broken, fallen world. If it's hurtful and devastating, it's because of the brokenness that sin has brought into the world. And you say, well, what's the answer to all this brokenness? Follow Jesus. That's the answer. Follow Jesus. And when good things are happening, why are all these good things happening? Because God is good. What do you do in those circumstances? Follow Jesus. That's still the answer. If someone is telling you something contrary to that, if somebody is teaching you something and it doesn't result in any of the fruits of the Spirit in their teaching, it is not of God. We have to take the time to ask ourselves, what sort of influence is this having on the people who listen, and the sort of person I want, is this the sort of person I want influencing my life? It's a good question to ask of religious teachers. It's a good question to ask when we are listening to secular teachers, because again, the world is full of people who want to influence and to interpret things and to be a prophet. But we know that the only true prophet, the only one who speaks from God and for God and represents God and is God, is Jesus. He is God's final revelation to us. If we want to know what is happening and what will happen and how should I live my life, then look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And if you wonder about teachers that you encounter along the way who have influenced you in one way or another, and you wonder, is this true or can this be true? Look at their fruits. Jesus says you will recognize them by their fruits. Ask yourself, who are my prophets? What are their fruits? What sort of impact are they having on themselves and on the people that they are teaching? We hope that above all the voices that you hear, the call of Jesus is the one that you answer first. That he wants to forgive you, to say, I trust you, Father, in being baptized into the name of Jesus and to be raised up a new creature to do God's will here on earth. It may be that you are a Christian and you find yourself struggling in your daily walk and need the prayers of your brother and sister. Now would be an opportune time. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life to Christ. This too would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and sing.